Hey, McCartney fans, and welcome to episode 136 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of the one and only Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi. You may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. And I am being joined by my friend, my partner, my backwards traveler, one and only Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
New and improved tech.
Love it.
Oh, my God. But we got this one off the ground, pun intended.
There you go. Pun intended. Yes, today's show, we're going to be diving into some rock and roll. We're going to talk about our favorite rock and roll Macca songs and just talk about rock and roll in general. But as you can see, we've got a buddy here. We got a friend, a guest, and his name is Scott O'Rourke, and you may know him in the New York area for his DJ work on WUSB. Scott, welcome to the show, and how's it going?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. Tonight we are Three Legs.
Three legs. There you go.
Mile away.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so, you know, you do a show for WUSB, and let's talk to really no news at the moment. We're going to skip that for now. We're just going to dive right in.
No.
We'll talk about it next week. We don't even know what it is.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyways, but
are you guys talking about the Instagram thing when Paul's
Yes.
I saw that too. So I'm like,
We don't know what it is. But anyways, Scott, let's talk about becoming a DJ. You know, what influenced you to become or to go in that field?
I've always listened to radio, and I was just so fascinated with how the playlists were being made and how it was broadcast, you know, just over the world. I was just really amused. I'm like, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. Just like playing music, talking about it. That sounds like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So it took me years to finally come to this station because it's all volunteer work. And I've been here for about 2 years now. I have three shows. One of them is my Beatles show, which I call Fab 4 p.m., which is every other Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Now we're dedicated to all Beatles, everything Beatles, Beatles, solo hits, deep cuts, of course, just covers, just about anything. My other two shows is Jukebox Time Machine, which is a midnight show, and just another show called The Scottio Show. So, But the Beatles...
Well, go ahead.
No, continue.
No, but I'm saying these shows, I mean, you put together on your own time. It's not like you're, I mean, are you live or are you putting these shows together?
Oh, I am live, which is the fun thing too.
Right.
So, and, you know, people can listen on WUSB.FM if they're not in the Stony Brook area. Mm-hmm. But if you are, you could tune into 90.1 or 107.3, depending where you get the frequency. That's good. Okay. So, yeah, this has just been a dream, and I've really enjoyed every minute being on the air, putting together my playlists. It's just it makes me feel good about myself. It's
cool. You know, Andy dabbled in some DJing while he's in Liverpool, didn't
Liverpool.
He,
Andy?
Yeah. I had my own little radio show there for a year when I was in grad school. Nice. So very similar kind of thing, and I just kind of played whatever I wanted to. It was very similar, just to kind of just sit there and play what you want to play and have fun. And they kind of college radio is
it's the best.
It's the best. It really is.
It's the best.
They're you can play whatever you want.
Exactly, within FTC guidelines, of course.
Right.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and program directors, as you know, just want to fill the shifts, right? So they don't care. Just get a body and play whatever you want. You know.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And with our station, we have a great wide variety of programming. So.
Right. Cool.
And it's
So let's just talk about your Beatles show then for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about putting it together. I mean, obviously, you try not to play the same songs, back to back, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how tough is it to put together a show like that?
It's a little tough sometimes. For me, this with me choosing my songs, especially the Beatles one, it really depends, like, what I'm listening to at that moment. Like, listen to my phone on shuffle, and if a song comes up that's like I don't really hear, I'm like, oh wow, this would be great on the air.
Right.
So my show kind of consists of, like, you know, what I'm feeling, you know, a little this date in history, you know, some new releases.
Right.
And just whatever I want. I think I actually take some influence from Ken Michael's show because he puts together a great syndicated show.
He sure does.
Oh, yeah.
He is great. I love how he puts together the show. So
little small plug for Kenny. Just got Alan White. Yeah. He just got Alan White, which as a huge Yes fan.
Yeah, I listened to it before we went live or before we started recording, and great interview. Like a lot of these older musicians, obviously memory loss there a little bit, but Ken got some great information out of Alan White from the All Things Must Pass sessions. So nice job there, Ken.
I can't wait for that box set.
we're excited as well. You were talking the rules. You can only play like four Beatles songs per hour for George, for John, and so on and so on. So you're kind of like limited to how much you can play an hour.
That's why doing an hour is perfect.
Right.
Actually, I have a show tomorrow, which at 4 o'clock, and my following show is in the beginning of August, and I'm actually going to do like a concert for Bangladesh 50th anniversary highlights.
Oh, cool! Very cool.
Yeah, I'm going to play a mixture of live recordings, studio recordings.
So then that's interesting you say that because you're going to do all this concert for Bangladesh special now. You can't play everything from that album because it's strictly a George Harrison album, or can you play a Bob Dylan track from that album and it be counted as a Bob Dylan track? Right. You know what I'm saying?
There's also a rule where you can't play, I guess, three songs from the same album as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why I'm going to mix it with studio recordings and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's why I'm calling it a highlights show. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting, the rules that you have to follow for stuff like that, if you wanted to do like a special on McCartney 3, you really could only play three songs from that album.
Yeah,
right?
I think I told you about it back in May. I did the 50th anniversary of Ram.
Right. Yep. That was a good show. Yep.
So I played a combination of Ram tracks, Twin Freaks, various tribute albums from that. Thrillington.
Right.
So it worked. So
definitely put some thought into it.
Yeah.
Make sure you gotta be a little creative with your playlists.
Yeah.
Right.
With those rules and regulations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also plan on doing a 50th anniversary for Imagine and then Wings of Wildlife, which is at the end of the year.
I'm psyched for that.
Those are some of my big projects I'm kind of working on right now.
Cool. Make sure you play the what's his name? Was it Cassidy's version of Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Yeah. I actually found a Denny Seibel trio doing Bebop, which I'm actually going to
play.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Cool. So again, with that, I'm going to probably do a little bit of covers, Twin Freaks, the actual album, whatever I could get my hands on.
Excellent.
So,
very cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Imagine, so.
Right. And then we'll talk more about the show later on and where people can listen to again. And when we plug our stuff later on. But like I said before, that we're going to talk about just rock and roll, Paul's Rockers. I've been wanting to kind of do this for a while because every once in a while it's cool just to focus on one specific genre of music that Paul, we all know Paul is great with the ballads and the granny tunes and the rockers. Exactly.
Kisses on the Bottom.
The standards and all that stuff. But Andy, let's just start with you. The rockers in most part. Obviously you grew up listening to rock and roll too. Would you consider Paul one of the best great rockers out there in history?
Sure. I think no question. I think people like to peg Paul as a certain kind of, he's a old folky or he just likes to do that. But I think Paul at his core, just like John was, is a rocker.
Right.
He's a rocker.
Rocker by heart. I mean, obviously, we know about, you know, his love for the rock and roll. When we talk, especially during those early episodes of the Beatles anthology, you know, talking about how much, you know, those little Richard, Elvis, Everly Brothers, those, all those songs, you know, helped influence.
That was it. I mean, that's
yeah, Eddie Cochran. There you go. Right.
I remember hearing like Paul talk about if you had to play one song at the end of the world, like let's say the world ends tomorrow, what song would you play? 20 Flight Rock. I've heard that.
That's his tune right there.
That's his audition song. This song right. Part of John to get the to get the spot. So
yeah, that's the jam right there. Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, you can feel the influence of those early rockers in his music, right, Andy? I mean, you can feel the Fats Domino in songs, the Little Richard in songs.
You definitely can sense that in everything that he's done. Those influences, right. No matter what he's done, still. I mean, go take a look at like Tripping the Life, Fantastic. You know, he plays Ain't That a Shame. You know,
right.
So he never strayed too far from those rock and roll roots.
Yeah. No. And when he does do those rockers, they do seem a little bit more energized, you know, than the original recordings. You know what I'm saying?
They really do. And I mean, he's never, whenever you think he's just about to just kind of mail it in or go soft, I mean, he hits you with a full on, I mean, rocker, you know, Run Devil Run. I mean, he's got
the Russian album.
He's always been very quick to tell it, to remind everybody that, hey, I'm still a rocker.
I'm still rock and roll.
Yeah, that's right. Scott, I mean, talk about some of your other favorite rock and roll bands out there. I mean, we'll do the same too. I mean, what else do you like in the rock ship feel? Oh, well, yeah, you got the Yardbird shirt on right there. There you go.
I like a lot of the British Invasion. I'm a big Stones guy. I like The Who. Yeah. I also like the Beach Boys.
There you go.
Elvis.
Right,
the early 50s rockers, you know, Bill Haley, Little Richard, Chuck Berry.
Oh, so you're a fan of that, the 50s rock and roll era?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Andy, what about you, Andy?
Early that I'm not an early 50s guy. I respect the era, and I actually like the doo-wop stuff actually a little bit better.
Oh really?
I do like the doo-wop stuff. You know, I grew up listening to the old WCBS FM 101.1.
Oh yeah, me too. That was a great station,
and that was kind of like the soundtrack to my youth because I'm from New Jersey, originally from New York, also. So the old WCBS FM was kind of my introduction to music. Right. So, to hear all that doo-wop stuff, the early 60s stuff, of course, the British Invasion.
50s, all that.
Great. I would say anything from like 1955 on, you know, I would be pretty much on board with that. Yeah.
Right. Well, like you, Andy, you know, the 50s era rock and roll, I mean, I respect it too, like you do. I mean, it's not like I seek that stuff out or I seek to listen to it because I mean I did when I was a kid. I mean it wasn't really thing, you know.
You're right. Exactly.
It was a different feel especially when, you know, growing up in the 80s in that hair metal
video age hair metal
rocker teacher
and where you grew up too you're a little bit older and you're
right and plus era. you know Motown was still being played nonstop in Michigan, all over the radio, like especially the you got your Seegers, your Alice Coopers, your Nugents, you know. So I mean, that stuff was just like every other song. It seemed like it was one of those three, you know, played on the radio. And then plus, you get your Beatles played a lot on the classic rock radio, and your Zeppelins and your Kisses, Who, Stones, all of that stuff. So that just really made me appreciate, you know, that music more and the Beatles and all four of them as rockers because they have all those solo years. I mean, there's some great rockers during those solo years.
Hey, Scott, real quick. What's your favorite Who album, man?
Oh, a quick one.
Oh, very nice choice.
Wow.
I like Who. Yeah.
You're like our friend Ethan Alexanian, who was another.
Yeah. One of my favorite Who songs is A Quick One while he's away. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
I actually like the version of the Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus. Love it. That's the gold standard.
That performance outblew the Stones.
They blew everyone away.
Yeah.
everyone, Jeff Rotolo,
no offense, you know, to the Dirty Mac.
Dirty Mac, they blew them all out of the water. Yeah. It wasn't even close. Yeah. That performance is just amazing. And what's that DVD set, Annie, that kind of like that document? The Kids Are All Right, right?
Oh, yeah.
They actually showed, I think that was the first time they showed actually clips from that. Because it was lost for a while.
It was lost. It didn't come out until 98 when the Stones officially reissued. Yes. 96 when they officially released it. But that was the only segment you saw, that little bit of that performance of a quick one, which is fantastic.
Right. And I think there are different camera angles as well than what we got on the
I actually also like the Jethro Tull performance.
Oh, that was great with Tony Iommi. Yeah. Song for Jeffrey. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, I've got the set over there somewhere. But I got the DVD, and then when it first came out, and then I bought the upgrade.
Did you get the extended version that came out like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
With the Dirty Mac.
Yeah, exactly.
Revolution.
Yes. Yeah. It was interesting.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that whole set is gold. The commentaries on that set are wonderful. Yeah. You hear Pete Townsend talk about how he feels like a quick one was kind of, you know, about, you know. I've come to appreciate Taj Mahal a lot because, you know, on the bonus disc, they have, because they end up doing like five songs, I think, on that. And they show the other songs on the other disc. So really good stuff from Taj Mahal. Big fan of that stuff. Cool. But back to the rockers here. Let's you know, Paul as a rocker. I think, Andy, you touched on that point. Sometimes he gets a little flack because, you know, sometimes he can be lovey-dovey. You know, sometimes the rock can be kind of like light rock, you know, not really that hard, you know, kick him in the ass rock, you know, Stone style, you know, rock. So let's get on with our list here. So what we did was we come up with 10 rocker songs that we think really showcase Paul as a really hardcore rocker, because let's face it, I mean, early Wings, that whole period, they were, you know, wanting to be a rock band, you know, and hence the addition of Henry McCullough as well. You know, that really added to the rockabilly as well. So, Scott, let's start with you. What's the first song you got on your list?
I love Solly, man. Solly is a great song.
Right.
I love the version from One Hand Clapping and Rock Show. Those are perfect ones. The one off Wings Over America, I just think it's a little weak, but it'll do.
Really? Yeah. Okay. That's a good starter right there. Yeah,
I know that's probably on your list, Tom.
We'll have to wait and see. I'm gonna start with one of the early ones, early Wing rockers, The Mess, which we know is another live jam. B-side as well. And
my life,
And I just love the feel of it. I love Henry's guitar licks on that. I love when it kind of like slows down and he goes, "When I want you," you know. And then it picks up again, towards the end. And I just think that's like a true rock and roll song. It just has that great rock vibe. And, you know, it's got good rock vocals from Paul. And like I said, the band is really kicking on that one. Yeah. And the live version, it's a shame it just wasn't on the on the album, Red Rose.
Yeah, but until the reissue.
Yeah, until the reconstructed.
I'm surprised we never got the studio version off on that.
But I think that wasn't that included on the box set? Was there?
It was. There was a studio version on the box set.
Yeah.
One thing I don't have yet.
So, Andy, let's go with you. What's your 10, my friend?
I actually have to go to curveball. I'm going with the live version of Figure of Eight.
Very good.
Because it's longer than the
it's longer and it's got a great guitar solo by Robin McIntosh,
a little bit more balls to it.
It makes that song such a kick-ass version. And it opened the concert, which is awesome. So I went with the live version of Figure of Eight off the trip.
That song actually made my honorable mention list because I wasn't really sure. So I'm like, But it's still a great song. It's still one of my favorites. I'll file it. Yep.
Good. All right, Scott, let's go back to you.
Beware My Love is number two.
Oh, yes.
Yes. It's obvious. It's just a great song.
Yeah.
I prefer the studio version over the live one. For some
Do you really?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Interesting. Yeah,
that's just my preference.
Okay.
Because I like that beginning they have in the studio version.
Right.
That builds up to like the I just like how it builds up. So that's just me.
Gotcha. All right, Andy.
No, your turn.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going with Only Mama Knows from Memory Almost Full. And I can remember putting that, I was driving and putting that, you know, picking it up, putting it in the CD player right away. That song comes up and you just hear this, you know, the violins, you know, the strings, you know, whatever. And I'm just like, okay, I mean, I don't mind this, you know, where's it going? And then all of a sudden you hear the doom, 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 you know, and, but yeah, because you don't, you know, because it's a harder rock song and you don't really get the, especially during that period of McCartney, really get the harder rock sound and you got to contribute that to the band, you know, to Rusty, Abe, you know, I mean, thankfully for the band, they were, I think, great reason why we were able to get such a hard rocking song for that.
Yeah. And he included it as a live.
Exactly.
Good evening, New York City. There it is.
Yeah, right. I was there for it.
Yeah, me too. which night were you at?
Both.
Oh, I think I was at the second one.
Yeah.
That was
Yes, it was.
Excellent. All right, Andy.
Number nine for me, the one hand clapping version of Band on the Run. I'm gonna be a little I'm gonna be a little plain Jane vanilla and throw like a big hit in there, but there's something about his vocal delivery on that one hand clapping version. I listened to it three times today. He is just screaming on that and wailing on it and really rocking out on it more so than the studio cut.
Yeah.
Even with live, but I just love the energy of especially a lot of that one hand clapping stuff. But
I actually also enjoy the Jet performance from that one hand clapping as well.
Yes,
and maybe I'm amazed as well.
Yeah, that was a great performances all around on that on that show. Amazing show, especially from Paul. The vocals on that, all of them are just stellar. You know, so fine. Okay,
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to move on to eight and Scott.
Well, this is number three, but it's all right. Okay. For me, it's Helen Wheels.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
First time I heard it, I'm like, this song rocks.
Right. No, exactly. I think it does.
I first got it off the Wingspan album, and I'm like, this song is great. So okay. I still rock out to it whenever I hear it. So.
Was that one of the first McCartney any CD or albums you ever got from him?
No, the first one I got was Paul Is Live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you had the Beatles songs on there, but now.
Right.
But now I kind of grew into more of his solo stuff, so.
Okay.
Then I eventually got Wingspan.
Okay.
So,
Would you say you were a Beatles fan before a solo McCartney fan, or vice versa?
Beatles fan first, and then I also, yeah, pretty much that.
Gotcha. Right on.
Yeah.
For me, seven, or where are we at? Eight.
Eight.
Eight. Yeah. I'm going with Sliding. From McCartney.
Ah, there it is.
You know, very, you know, as we said, you know, lyrically, it's kind of like psychedelia right there. And you know, again, you know, not supposed to say no band, but there is the band.
Oh, come on.
I think that was
supposed to be a secret. I think
that was one of the jam songs he did before, from what I was reading, which actually he was doing with, you know, Rusty and those guys.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Apparently it's from the Egypt Station sessions. Again, I just, you know, it's another good harder rock song that we don't get a lot of Paul from these days. So there you go. Andy.
Number eight. Again, I'm going to say Plain Jane here. I'm going with Jet from Band on the Run. Come on. Like, we're just thinking about Paul as a rocker, right? So I looked at the discography. I'm like, okay, what am I picking? I'm like, I mean, do I go with some obvious choices? I mean, Jet, I mean, Jet's commercial. It's powerful. It's got hooks.
Right.
He goes, he kicks ass on it. I mean, yeah. How could you not? I think Jet is, I mean, I think Paul McCartney rocking Jet has got to be in there.
Yeah, and you know he uses an aspect that I wish he would use more, and those, you know, especially during those mid 70s years, he uses a lot of the horn. You know, he's got the brass section, horns, whatever you want to call it, and I think that was a great addition to that song. You know, especially that opening, especially live.
It worked live. It worked well with Venus and Mars.
That was a fantastic trio of songs to open the concert.
Yeah.
But you know, studio live. I mean, that's rocking, Paul, for me, and that was why I had an eight.
I always loved the keyboard solos on that song.
Yeah, Linda.
Yeah, Linda doing it. That's great.
Okay, great. So that was your eight. So we're moving along to number seven. Scott, take it away.
Ooh, You from McCartney One.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Wow.
McCartney One is actually my favorite Paul album because I just love how it's just Paul. It's him, the first release.
Right.
So I fell in love with this song. I also love the "Don't Cry, Baby" little girl from, you know, the
The outtake on the 2-seater.
Or the instrumental.
Right.
So, yeah, Ooh You is great. So
no, I've always been a big fan of Ooh You.
Yeah, Tom, you did more.
Yeah, I think the bass line is a groovy bass line right there, and exactly.
Yeah, I've always
and his vocals are great too on that one.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think that one really gets enough attention.
No,
you know, so definitely, hopefully, now people will give that one another spin. Who are you exactly? You know, I'm going to one of the highlights for me from Driving Rain, and that's Rinsed Raindrops.
You love that one.
Yeah, I do.
That actually made my list. So.
Yeah.
awesome.
I love that song too.
I do. I mean, it varies. It changes keys, tempos, and stuff through like that. You know, when we're talking to Gabe Dixon, he talked about how that was pretty much like a half hour jam, and then he condensed.
I always jam out to that song whenever I listen to it. Do you guys like the Twin Freaks version?
Oh, I like everything on Twin Freaks. Yeah. I think
Twin Freaks is great.
Yeah. But this one, you know, Rinse and Raindrops, just like right towards the end, like within the last minute of the song, it's just got this great McCartney scream that you just don't get that from him, especially
not at that late in his career.
No, not in that late of his career. And it was just, I mean, that thing was like, it seemed like it went on forever, you know, that scream. And that was just a classic rock and roll scream right there.
Yeah,
definitely one of the highlights of the song.
Awesome. It's awesome. I agree with
you. Yeah.
I agree.
Right. Andy?
Number seven. We're going back to, I'm going to go to Ram, and I'm going with Eat at Home.
Ooh. Eat at Home. Okay.
I love Eat for the live version that we got on Wings Over Europe from the box set. I think it's just a great rocker. Again, Paul. Channeling the roots, okay. You hear the Buddy Holly influence in that song.
Right.
You hear it. That's all Buddy Holly.
Yeah, there you go.
I've always loved "Eat at Home." It's always been a go-to Paul rocker.
Yeah, they made my honorable mention list.
Well, but I mean, so you're going with the Ram version, not the live version? Or?
I'm gonna go with the Ram version. Yeah.
Okay. Fair. Because I kind of prefer the live.
I kind of prefer it more now that we have it, but just for a purist, you know, that's the first version that was out there, so that's why. The live version is actually as good. You're right.
How about the Thrillington? Do you guys like the Thrillington version?
It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's just you know, it's just so weird hearing it without the balls of a rocker.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Going on to number six, Scott.
Little Woman Love.
The piano,
rocker now.
Yeah. First time I heard it, I'm like, this is really catchy.
You could have picked a medley with Simon that he did live from '75 and you could have gotten two.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely feel more, like the Fats Domino influence on that. I think, you know, exactly.
That's it's just great. I love it.
Are you a fan of, like, I mean, all aspects of the rock? I mean, you got the, I mean, obviously you got the piano rocker, you got just the flat out, straight out rocker, you got, horn rockers, you know, like that. Yep. I mean, it's really cool when he does that and just changes up, you know, the style of the rocker, whether or not if it's going to be determined if it's going to be a piano rocker or, you know, a guitar rocker, you know.
Okay. I like all the rockers.
Six for me. I'm going with I'm going opposite as you, Scott, and I'm going with the live version of Soily. That's my favorite version.
Which one?
Wings Over America.
Wings Over America. America. Yeah. I just think, you know, Joe English's drumming, I think, is what really does it for me on that version. Not that Jeff Britton played bad drums on the one clapping.
As I mentioned earlier, I said one hand clapping in the version from Rock Show, not Wings Over America.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah, well, it's actually different. If you
it's probably got a different mix, probably, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I just feel like the one of Rock Show is just more faster, in my opinion.
Well, and the thing is when you're seeing him play when you're seeing Joe English play the drums and him going crazy, because you don't feel that when you're listening to it.
Yeah.
But then when you were actually watching it, you know, you just realize just how powerful of a drummer that he is.
I agree with you.
Yeah. All right. So that was my six. Okay, Andy.
Six for me. Okay. I'm sure it might be in both of you guys' lists at some point. I don't know. It's kind of an obvious choice. Rock Show.
Didn't make my list.
Did not.
No. Listen. Oh.
Yeah.
Did it make yours, Tom?
No, actually. But I can see it making somebody's list.
I had to put Rock Show in there. I mean, it might be a little over the top lyrically, like, you know, so obvious, like a tip of the hat to being a rock show. But, I mean, it encompasses everything about it. I mean, and the energy of it, again, I don't want to go with the live version from Wings Over America because that's just balls to the wall. Well, just on fire playing, you know.
You don't get to put your wig on straight.
Yeah, no. But we get right into Jet, which is
That's true. That's true.
Very true. So Rock Show. I don't know if I'm cheating by saying I want to include Venus and Mars with it, but I mean, think about it as a you know, you just had Soily. I mean, think about that as a bookending the concert with Venus and Mars Rock Show, and then it's Soily. I mean, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but Rock Show.
Yeah, Rock Show is your six. Very good. Scott, it's top five time, my friend.
All right. My next song is Rockestra Theme from Back in the Egg. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, first time I heard that, I'm like, this is, again, it's just another great instrumental, you know.
Right.
Well, and I enjoy listening to it whenever I hear it. So it's like,
right. I mean, the lineup is impressive.
Yeah. So,
you know, the cast of characters he's got on that.
He won a Grammy. So I'm like,
right. Yeah. Right. I understand that. Won a Grammy.
Yeah.
I still have issues with the song. I find the guitar lick a little boring. You know, ding, ding, ding. I mean, but it's still fine, though. I mean, it's very powerful. I mean, especially having three drummers on that, on that track. I think that really is one of my favorite parts. Is the driving force of all, three drummers on that. So, but fair choice or fair pick, absolutely. Yeah. Rockestra Theme.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed it. So, even though the guitar lick is corny, I enjoy it. So,
gotcha. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, my five. I'm going with "Beware My Love" as well. I'm going with the album version myself. I think it's just as good as the live version myself. I really like Paul's vocals on the studio version myself, and it's great rock. I love that it's like 6 minutes long.
Yeah,
you know, one of three 5+ minute songs on the album, and I really dig it, man. It's like one of those songs you're in the car, you're driving, that song comes on, and you know you're going 90 miles.
Yep. No.
Whoa. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially when that's when it picks up with the screaming. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right, Andy, you're number five, my friend.
You mentioned this. I think there was your number 10. I'm going to go with The Mess.
Oh, great.
The Mess. Great. Love The Mess. Like that we got the studio, but I'm going to go with the one that's on the original Live at the Hague version. That was the B-side to My Love. Right. So that was my first exposure to it. And the first time, like, as an early Wings fan or an early McCartney solo fan, I was like, wow, here's a non-album B-side, and he's actually my first evidence of Wings being, oh, they can really rock too. That was for me as a younger fan was like, oh, okay, they're a little more than just, you know, ballads and stuff. They could really rock as a live outfit. And that was the really only evidence at the time that you heard of that lineup doing that kind of stuff. So that's why, for sure, The Mess, as we now know, but The Mess, you can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't. I agree 100%. Number four, Scott.
Long Leather Coat from
the
I love it. Going deep.
I love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't go wrong with that song.
Talk about that for a second.
I just feel like the songs off the Complete Works were better than what he had off the Ground.
I'm on that camp myself.
Oh, we know that. Let's not go there. Let's not start that conversation, Scott.
You know what I really like is about some of his rockers too are the backing vocals. You know, backing vocals are a huge part, I think, of a great rock song. And you know, Paul throughout his career has had great, you know, I think great backing vocals on his rockers, and I think that was a you know, no exception. On that one. So I like Long Leather Coat, absolutely. I think it's a good choice. Good choice.
Good, excellent choice, Scott.
Thanks. Yeah. Four for me is I'm going Getting Closer from Back to the Egg. I think that's my favorite rocker on the album. We know that he did do quite a few rockers on that album. You know, Juber and Holly were a great addition to the Wings lineup. And unfortunately, we didn't get enough of that. I think we could have got, you know, quite a few more rockers from them if that lineup would have, you know, stayed together, you know, instead of,
Tom, do you feel that like you just to your point about having all those rockers on Back to the Egg? Do you think that was in direct response to the critics kind of just calling him soft after the low key London Town?
Probably, absolutely. Even though we did get a couple rockers on London Town, they still weren't like. They still weren't like hard rockers though.
No. Just you wonder if like the direct response that when again we've that album went to number two. It did better than Back to the Egg. It did better than Back to the Egg. Come on.
Right. Exactly. And maybe it was just that era, you know, with punk right there. Maybe he just wanted to pick up the pace a little bit on a few songs, and he had, you know, the guitarist and the drummer to do it, you know. So but Getting Closer, I think, is just, you know, an exciting rocker with great, and again, great rock vocals from Paul, and you know, always enjoyed this one. I wish I could have seen him do this. I think he could do this live. I think his vocals now, I mean, is not as strong as they are, but we all know that he can still do rockers really well live, and I think this would be a great addition to his live set list.
Oh man, I'm sure like one of those guys, Rusty or whatever, is like,
oh yeah, you know, absolutely,
let's do that one, you know.
Paul, please, we're begging you.
Salamander and all, you know,
whatever. play it.
Exactly. So that's number four for me. Andy?
Four for me, Letting Go, man, from Wings Over America. A live version of Letting Go.
Okay.
Love that, especially the last minute or two of the song where they're really rocking out. And the horns are going.
You feel like letting go?
I mean, the rhythm is rocking. The horns are going.
Right.
You know, he's got that Rickenbacker, which just kicked ass during that whole time whenever he played it. That's why when I see that chintzy-ass Hofner bass now, I'm like, put that freaking thing away. Play the Rick.
You should bring the Rick out when he performs his Wing song.
Oh, my God. You watch Silly Love Songs, everything, what he does with the bass line in that, and Beware My Lead, all these songs we've been talking about. I mean, Letting Go. So it's Letting Go, the live version. I mean, to me, it just kicks, especially the last half of the song. You're watching on the rock show. You, You see the band. Everybody's like in sync and just on fire, and that's why I love it.
Excellent pick. Really good pick. I didn't see that one coming. All right. Top three time. Scott, let's go with you. Number three, my friend.
Well, number eight to me, but nobody knows from McCartney. McCartney.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm always like, yeah.
I love the deep cuts.
Right.
Yeah. I've always like when McCartney 2 was reissued.
Right.
I really gave that album a chance and I just fell in love with this song.
So you did. You weren't a fan the first time you heard it then?
Yeah, I mean, the first time I heard the album, I was like, but when the reissue came out, I'm like, I'll give it a second chance. And
I think that happened to a lot of people, maybe.
Yeah. It certainly did.
Yeah, I just love that. Again, I feel like it's got like a little bit of a rockabilly influence in it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I prefer the bluesy rocker of On the Way myself on that album.
But
that's a good pick too. And yeah, I love the deep cuts, man. Yep. Keep those going. Myself, I'm going with 1985.
I was wondering if that was going to make the list.
Yeah, oh, it did. Oh, it did. You know, especially, you know, this great, piano opening with that. But for me, it's the great solos that you hear, you know, towards the end of the song.
All the guitar solos.
All the guitar solos towards the end that really, you know, picks it up. And I love the woo. And I love all the, you know, the breakdown and when they, you know, get into the backing vocals and everything. And and it's every time you go do, do, do. Do, 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 you know, and then you see that just keeps building,
layering.
Exactly. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
good.
Exactly.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, 1985 is three for me. Yeah. And Andy,
you both have it on your list, but right. And I do too. But I'm going again with a live version. I'm going with Beware My Love.
Okay.
Now you guys both said you like the beginning, how it kind of slowly builds.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I enjoy that on the album cover, but the live version, to me, he just kicks right into it. And because he didn't recreate that kind of slow beginning intro with the live. He just went right into it. I think that, you know, I must be wrong. Right from the beginning on the live version, that song is on freaking fire.
Fire,
from the beginning of it to the end of it.
Agreed.
And that's why, to me, it's like the live. I know we've talked a lot about Wings Live and stuff, but I mean, that to me is like Paul Wright's telling me we're in top three here right now. Beware My Love. I do find that's pretty cool, though, that we all did have that on our list.
Yeah.
No, I figured we would probably have like one or two songs where they would be on all of our lists.
Yeah. Right, but I think that's the only one so far, though, right?
I think so. Okay, number two, Scott.
Well, I have to go to a B-side, Girl School.
Oh,
oh boy.
Yes, yes.
I just love it. Who does all that?
Roxanne's a woman trainer. She puts the kids to bed. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Ken Michaels a while back. I love how he actually mentioned how Paul was on vacation.
Yes, in Hawaii.
And like a porno came on.
Exactly.
And that's how we wrote the song.
Well, I think it was a porn mag.
But still, I thought that was pretty cool. You know.
Yeah. Well, you can get influenced in oh so many ways.
Yeah.
You know. But no, that was a great pick. I mean, Jimmy McCullough is on fire on that song. Wow, how different London Town would have been if Girl School was on.
No, that had been on it. Yeah, think about that album with that on there now, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe. Go ahead. Yeah, Mold Could Tire a little bit. But giving a song with that much balls and putting it on London Town would have given it a little bit more street cred, I think.
Exactly.
Probably. Yeah. But it didn't need street cred because it got to number two.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the fact that it's a B-side makes it even cooler. So.
Mm-hmm. Would it be considered a B-side here at first? And then because it was just the DJs just decided to play that one of the two, right? Or was it always the A-side here?
Because Mull of Kintyre didn't really do much here because
when
it was played in England, it had more of a fan base because it's
It was number one in everywhere besides here.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So the fact that it didn't do anything here, and then they chose to play the B-side, and I think it still made it was still a top 40 hit.
Top 40, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Still and again, not on Wingspan.
Yeah. Right.
We got girlfriend, but
ridiculous.
Right, we got girlfriend.
Ridiculous.
All right.
Hey, we did get daytime, nighttime supper in off.
Yes, we did get that. Yeah, which was a plus for Wingspan. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there was a couple little gems that they threw in there for sure.
Yeah.
You know. But all right, for number two for me, I'm going with High, High, High. I'm going to stick with the studio version as much as I like the rock show or Wings Over America version. High, High, High has always been a killer track for me. I love what Henry McCullough brought to that song. Lyrically, it's a lot of fun, and it's got a rock and roll chorus. You know, we're going to get high, high, high. I mean, how much? That's rock and roll,
right there. From the BBC.
Right. Right, as he says in the Wingspan thing. Well, because we said we're going to play high, high, high. We're not playing that. No, not playing not. That.
Yeah. but, you know, what's rock and roll? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, it's so rock and roll, that song. And like I said, Henry's contribution to that song is brilliant. And
the outro when he just lets loose on the guitar solo.
Exactly. Yeah, that's excellent. He still plays it live to this day, and he still has a great vocal on that. But the vocal on the original single is just deep. It's excellent.
Was that the single? Was that the single where the where the promo flyer says that the new single from your old buddy's Wings
or something like that? Something like that. Yes.
Yeah, love that. That's a great poster.
Right. Okay, so Andy, number two for you.
Number two for me, which might be number one for other people. I don't know, but number two for me is Junior's Farm. Junior's Farm is my number two. That's Paul at his rocking best, and got to see him do it live once or twice too, which was fantastic. I think it was like the second or third song in the set, so of course that came on, and I'm like, aha, get out of my way. That's my song. Right. I don't care. All my loving, get out of my way.
Right. Basically, right.
Junior's Farm, I'm locked in. And that's that's awesome. I mean, I think he did the single edit version though, like without not the full lyrics.
Yes.
But, but Junior, it's awesome. The video is great. Jeff Britton drumming. Jimmy's first appearance on Paul's record. Right. Awesome. Take Me Down and the long outro where he's screaming. Right. Awesome.
Oh, good. Yep. Surprised it wasn't number one. But I'm looking forward to hearing your number one. So, okay.
It was already said already. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, Scott, you're number one, my friend.
Or my number 10. Rinse the Raindrops.
Excellent.
I love that song.
Right.
Like pretty much what you said, Tom. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I love the mid song jam. I love it. It's just a great song. Whenever it's on in my car, I sing along to it. I'm like, I imagine myself actually playing on the song. It's so great. I'm like, there we go.
Right. No, it's got a lot of great stuff going for it. Yeah. And it was just so cool hearing Gabe Dissin talk about that song. Experience on it. It's a great pick. I think Rinse the Raindrops is a great top 10 pick for Paul Rockers. Yeah. But for me, for my number one, it's Junior's Farm. It'll always be Junior's Farm.
I know.
I know I'm kind of predictable sometimes with my picks. But Junior's Farm, Andy, like you said, Jimmy's guitar playing. I mean, he just, first at bat, grand slam, out of the park, his first appearance on a true McCartney. We know what he did with McGear. I mean, and that stuff was great too, but here first single on a McCartney record, he just absolutely killed it. And he got immortalized with Paul saying, "Take me down, Jimmy." And Jeff, like Andy, like you said, Jeff Britton too, as well. I thought he was really good on that song as well. And he looked good playing it too. In that video.
Having a good time.
Having a good time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But lyrically it's fine. It can't be the single edit. When I will never listen to that single edit again, unfortunately.
No.
He didn't play the single. Yeah, that's what he does live now. When I saw him two or three years ago now, whenever it was.
Now, what's the lyric he admits live? The grocery store lyric? That's the one that he takes out?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I took my bag into
the grocery store. Holly must have had more sense, I think it was.
Is that the one? Is that the lyric that he takes out? Yeah.
Yeah. Should have had more sense. Yeah, that one.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
Hey, but listen, and it's just like when he did Venus and Mars, and he only did the little, he just played the beginning of it. Like, what are you doing?
Right. And then when we're talking, you know, about the compilations, you know, we get the full version on Wings Greatest, right? We get the edit. And then ever since then, we got the radio edits until the Venus and Mars box set. And that's when we got the remastered full version, I would have been so pissed if we only got the radio
edit. The radio edit version on that box set?
On that box set, paying that much money for it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he would have been the stone.
You give me the full version, damn it.
Yes. But Andy, I'm really curious to what I know. We said it, and I'm really curious to see what your number one exactly.
Drum roll for Andy.
Give us your number one, please.
My number one rocker is Girl School. I love Girl School. I think we've taught Girl School to me is the best rocker. Not only that, probably one of the best B-sides he's ever done.
I agree.
Ever. I mean, everything about it, you know,
I agree.
The girls at the beginning, three cheers, hip hip. I mean, you've never heard that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's, you know, he just, again, it's classic McCartney. He's just rocking out, you know. She gives him thrills in a paper cup and she knocks him on the head, just screaming. It's just, I mean, it's craziness. But what I love about the rock, it is a rocker, but it maintains that wing sound when you hear Paul, Linda, and Denny on it.
With the Oz
on it. That's what I love about that. So it has the ability to rock, but you hear that trademark wing sound on it, which is why I love that song.
Mm. Great.
So it has both. It has, you're hearing the shades of classic Wings harmonies and also the band just kicking ass too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a great number one. Absolute great number one. Yeah. And you know, we talk about Scott, you know, earlier we were talking about some honorable mentions that you have too. Yeah. So what were some of your honorable mentions?
Try Not to Cry from Run Devil Run.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Eat at Home.
Right.
Move Over Busker from Press to Play. I've always liked that song.
Okay.
I Can Bet from New.
Yeah. Ah, good one.
Yeah.
Figure of Eight, the long version.
Right. Yep.
Road All Night from the Ram Session.
Oh, perfect.
Paul Benny.
Yes.
Big Barn Bed. Big Barn Bed. Yep.
Yeah.
High, High, High and Looking for Changes.
Okay.
And cool. Junior's Farm.
Engineer's Farm.
Yeah,
I had a couple too. You know, one track I did put it, I wanted to put it in my top 10, but it's not technically a McCartney song, but it's cut me some slack. The Savannah.
If Paul appeared on it, we'll take it.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is the Paul McCartney podcast, so everything goes. So.
I mean, you know, his cigar box playing, the guitar cigar box was really kick ass. You know, the simplest of lyrics, but what presented, I mean, he performs them well. I love, you know, Give On Back to the Irish. A true rocker, even though he the subject matter is different. And then Girl School, obviously, I mean, that's just a gold standard when it comes to Paul rockers, you know. So, Andy, did you have a couple honorable mentions?
Yeah, a couple. I had Get Out of My Way from Off the Ground. Yes.
Oh, perfect. Go. Good choice. Go. Yeah.
That's a rocker. Yeah.
I dug that one quite a bit. It's a nice little good rocker one. I had a couple other ones. Getting Closer, obviously. Give Iron Back to the Irish, of course. Right. High. But my the one that I almost would have squeezed in at 10 was Get Out of My Way. Just always.
Yeah.
That's it's perfect, perfect, you know, driving fast and fire the song up. Yeah.
Perfect. I love it. Great. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, if you, you know, please, if you're watching on YouTube, or you can email us, you know, give us your favorite McCartney rockers. We'd love to see your list and talk about it. Absolutely. Scott, before we take off, let's talk about the show, your Beatles show one more time. Or all your shows. I mean, talk to, yeah. when are they on? When can people find you? Is there a website that they can find you as well?
Yeah, they go on WUSB.FM. Okay. That's where you could stream live from anywhere in the world. So, like,
I stream it. I stream it here in Arizona.
Andy, you can stream it too in New Jersey. My show tomorrow is at 3 o'clock, but the Beatles show is at 4 o'clock. So,
well, that's a Thursday. We're recording it. I mean, so just tell them what day it is. So it's Thursday, right?
Yeah, every other Thursday at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And then I have my midnight show, which is every other Thursday at midnight. So it's
okay. So it's the same week, or are they different weeks? You know what I'm saying?
It's they alternate every
alternate. Week. Okay, yeah, there you go. So, okay, gotcha. So okay.
Next week is Jukebox Time Machine. I'm doing the year 1962 Part 2, playing songs from 66.
Okay.
So it's gonna be a good show. Got the playlist already planned out. So tune in, have fun, enjoy, keep rocking.
Excellent. Great. Well, it's great having you on the show, and really Andy, appreciate
thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks. No, thank you for bearing with us with our schedules and our tech issues. And
right.
We'll know for next time. We'll use this website.
Right. usually doesn't happen. This never happened before, right, Andy?
No. Technical issues. Not really. We've been a smooth sailing operation almost 2 years now. For the most part. We had to make some changes with how we record and do stuff. So we appreciate you hanging in there and keep playing all that. Please keep playing all that great music out there in Huntington, Long Island. And, remember when the music came from wooden boxes. That's
right. Andy, you made an appearance on our friendly rival there not too long ago, right?
Oh, well, you did too.
It hasn't been posted yet. Yours has been posted.
Our friend Sam Wiles, who does the Pole or Nothing podcast, did a little offshoot series called Macca in Your Attic. Wanted to see what fans had that was their most prized possessions. And I showed a couple of things and that I'd gotten over the years, and he really dug that. And, you know, he had a lot of good guests on there as well. And Tom was also on there. And so I showed a few things. So a couple more kind of out of print vinyl, like Driving Rain on vinyl and stuff like that. It's hard to get, you know, late 90s, early 2000s vinyl was very hard to come by. So those are pretty near and dear to me, and the number one thing I showed him was my personalized Paul autograph DVD.
Oh, that's right.
Of this space within us, which
I have Denny Lane's autograph on the Wings' Greatest album.
Nice.
So, oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. So by the time this airs, maybe my
yours will drop.
My appearance will be posted. I'll talk more about it on the next show if it is posted by then. But head on to YouTube, type in Paul or Nothing, and you'll see the Macca in Your Attic series. He's had our friend Ethan Alexanian, Chip Mattinger on the shows, and others. And really looking forward to seeing what else everybody has, because there's some amazing stuff out there.
Certainly is.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. Definitely. So yeah, you can check that out. Andy, anything else you want to shout out before?
Just want to say thanks to everybody out there that saw and watched our live reaction video to McCartney 321, which we did last week. And it's been our best performing video so far since we launched the channel. Or it's up there
number two right now, I think,
right after the McCartney 3 reaction, so it did very well. And Tom and I watched that on Wednesday and we reacted to it. And thank you to everybody out there that's also plugged that, Joe Mayo, Matt Street, and for plugging that episode that we did on it, and we had a lot of fun, and it's done well. So thank you, everybody out there, and who's followed us or found us through that.
awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Two Legs Podcast. Email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. The website, twolegspodcast.com. And please check out the YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney Podcast. It's really starting to grow. We're over 600 now, working our way towards 700. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's growing every day. So we really appreciate you guys heading over there. We're still, you know, on all the audio formats, the you know, the Podbeans, the iTunes, the iHeartRadios, the Spotify. Pandoras, the Spotifys. You know, we're everywhere. We got Andy to thank for that, because you know, he busted his butt getting us on all those audio formats, which it was a toughie at first. You know, I don't know. You know, it was that stupid logo, right?
Oh my God! The artwork right. Does not match iTunes descriptions of what it should be. That was a long time ago now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I shouldn't say stupid logo, but because, you know,
David, my
cousin David put, you know, worked on that and did a great job with it. So, but everybody out there, thank you. Like Andy said, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. The old timers, the newcomers, and keep listening. So, everybody out there, as always, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care, everybody.